a different way. And when God openly speaks, like He has almost every Sunday night in the last number of weeks, and encourages us, His people, that He is here in our midst. He spoke it this morning. I wonder if when we get to heaven, if we're just going to do a walk by the throne and go, "This is cool," and go back to wherever we go if we're not at the throne. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm not mad at nobody. I just want everybody to experience what we're experiencing here. Because when we experience what we're experiencing here and take it out there, you're talking about fire. Listen, if we catch on fire, they'll come watch us burn. They will come and watch us burn. I think about those disciples and the apostles and the disciples in the upper room when that sound of a mighty rushing wind came through there and tongues of fire began to set on each one of them. By the way, Mike, you're on fire. Jim, you're on fire. Carl, you're on... Everybody, yeah, you're on fire too. The whole place is on fire, but nobody's burning up. Dennis, you're on fire. We didn't even know. Responses from warnings will vary from disregard and neglect to evasive or corrective action. How a person reacts to a warning is usually determined by the situation and the source. Used to be we could listen to the things on the news and believe what was being said and make changes. Anymore, all they're looking for is the best story that they can come up with. Whether it's the truth or not has no bearing on what they say. They're just trying to get the best story out there. We treat an impending storm differently than an onrushing automobile. We treat the counsel of a trusted friend where it is heeded more than the flippant remark by a stranger or a fearful guess of a child. It depends on the source. And when the Lord speaks to us in our services, like He's been the last several services, He's been speaking out through different ones besides just the preacher. Church, we need to listen to what the voice of the Lord is saying. And we need to heed what God is saying. When God is in our midst, when God is in our presence, when God is moving, whether He's dancing a jig in the center aisle or whether He's just engulfing us with His presence and we just feel overwhelmed by what He's doing, church, we need to respond to that. I'm not in a rush to get to preach God's Word. I've been preaching God's Word for a long time. It's not like I need to preach another sermon for some level of fulfillment in my life. I just want to be in His presence. But at the same time, I want to encourage you with what His Word says. I preached out of 2 Peter this morning, and interestingly enough, I've got a text that contains the same text that I preached this morning. How many of you think that we can be sure of our salvation? We can know that we know that we know. Let me read these verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained. He's writing to the church. Those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. You guys can sit if you want. You can sit in my chair. I'm not going to be real long. I've said that before, but grace and peace be multiplied. How many of you think that they just used those words because they had them there and they were available? Look at what that says. Grace and peace. How many of you want grace and peace multiplied in your life? By the way, Joanne, it's great to see you with us tonight. We've been praying for you. We've been not just praying, but we've been believing with your husband that God would heal you and raise you up. That every bit of depression and every cloud of darkness, that God isn't hearing our prayers, that would vanish from you, that God would completely restore you. That's our prayer. That's the way we've been praying. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Does that sound familiar? That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Listen, that's what I need, folks. If you want to pray for your pastor, pray for self-control. Self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let that encourage us tonight, church. This is like the last communication from Peter, this second epistle. He was a warrior. He made some blunders, didn't he, in his life? But at the end, Peter was a great warrior of Christ. And soon he would die. He would be martyred for his faith. And Peter had written beforehand to comfort and to encourage believers in the midst of suffering and persecution from external onslaughts on the body. But 3 years later, in this letter containing his last words, he wrote to warn them of an internal attack. An internal attack. What was he talking about? He was talking about complacency and heresy. Church, if the church, especially in America, needs anything today, it is to be shaken from complacency. We have become comfortable. We have become complacent. And God is not looking for a complacent bride. He's looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish. He's looking for a bride that is adorned and ready to meet her husband. We cannot risk being complacent. Think about the ten virgins. Five of them were complacent. Five of them were lackadaisical about the preparation that was to be done, and they didn't prepare. And church, the Bible says the door was shut. And they said, hey, we're here for the wedding. Sorry, the door's been shut. He spoke of holding fast to the non-negotiable facts of the faith. Non-negotiable facts of our faith. Of growing and maturing in the faith and rejecting all that would distort the truth. To follow His advice, church, would ensure Christ-honoring individuals and Christ-centered churches. There are churches all across America that are full. Thousands and thousands of people, because frankly they're being told what they want to hear. Which is fulfillment of prophecy. And that there would be in the last days a great falling away, and people that would heap unto themselves teachers that will scratch their itch and will have itching ears and will say whatever it takes to draw a crowd. Listen, I'm still hanging to the fact that the Word of God says that the truth will set you free. Grace is God's honor, God's unmerited favor. Peace refers to the peace that is made between Christ and sinners and God through Christ's death on the cross. And Peter reassures the people that both grace and peace can be theirs in abundance. It can be ours. We can live in grace and peace in abundance, church. Do you believe that? By knowing Christ, when we become Christians, we begin the process of receiving grace and peace in abundance. He puts His Holy Spirit inside of us, and He brings us comfort. How many of you know that comfort brings peace? Many believers want an abundance of God's grace, but are unwilling to put forth the effort to get to know Him better through Bible study and prayer. They get all that they need on Sunday morning because I am such a profound orator of God's Word. They don't even have to come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night because I'm so good that I just fill them to overflowing and just pressurize them with wisdom of God's Word that they don't even have to come back till next Sunday. That is malarkey. It's nonsense. God has called us, church, to study and show ourselves approved workmen rightly dividing the word of truth. I guarantee you I'm not good enough to get you through till next Sunday. I am not, and I have never claimed to be, and I never will be. It is your responsibility to study God's Word. Make an effort to get to know Him better through Bible study and through prayer. See, the power that resurrected and glorified Christ is the same power that has enabled you and I to believe. The power of the Holy Ghost. Faith has to be enacted. Christ ransomed us, and because of that, we have no longer fear God, and we no longer have to face judgment. We set our faith and hope confidently in God. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep me against that day. But faith must be more than a belief in certain facts. This is where it gets nasty, just in case you was wondering. Faith must result in action. Growth in your Christian character. And the practice of moral discipline or faith will die away. Peter lists several of faith's actions. Number one, learning to know God better. Think of a dating relationship. Think about when you first meet that special someone and you begin at today, you would be text messaging and instant messenger and instant gram and Twitter and what, huh? A lot of electronic communication, but the moral of the story is you would begin to reach out and you would begin to do everything you could to get to know that person better. So it becomes much more than just coming to an altar to get to know God on that first Sunday morning when you surrender your life to Him. We need to keep coming back. We need to keep studying God's Word. We need to learn how to know God better. Listen, if God had a cell phone, we should be texting Him constantly. But He doesn't. But He does have prayer. And so we ought to be praying constantly. Number two, we need to be developing perseverance. Learn how to persevere. Learn how to keep going even when the going gets tough. We watched a movie the other night, and I didn't like the movie, but watched it anyway. It's about a World War II film called Hacksaw Ridge. And it told the story of a medic that was a godly man, and he refused to carry a weapon. He refused to carry a rifle, and he got court-martialed. And he got brought before the authorities, and they tried to kick him out. But a letter from the president, I believe it was a letter from the president, said, listen, he has constitutional rights. And they had to allow him to go into battle and become a medic on the field. And that man became an absolute hero because he stood firm on his convictions. He refused under threat of court-martial and a life in prison for disobeying a direct order from a commanding officer in Leavenworth. And that man went on to single-handedly rescue like 78 people. Plus two of the enemy, friend and foe, under heavy fire, without a weapon, church. My goodness, can we learn something from that? You know what he kept saying? God, give me one more. Give me one more. His hands from letting people down that were unconscious or maybe they didn't even have legs. And he would let them down off of this cliff by a rope. Which, by the way, his drill sergeant made fun of him for the knot that he tied in his rope. Yet it was that very knot that saved the lives of those people. And his hands were burnt from rope burns, letting those men down off of that hill. Perseverance. God, give me one more. Give me just one more. How about doing God's will? Do we even know God well enough to know what God's will is for our life? Number four, loving others. Loving others. These actions don't come automatically. They require hard work. They require hard work. They're not optional. All of them must be a continual part of the Christian life. And we don't finish one and then start on the next. We have to work on all of it all together, all at the same time. God empowers us and enables us. Salvation doesn't depend on good deeds, but it results in good deeds. Why? Because we love God. A person that claims to be saved while remaining unchanged does not understand faith or what God has done for him or her. Think about that. I get a lot of flack for being on Facebook a lot, but I'm not on there just to be on Facebook. I watch people and I study people. There's a lot of people on there, folks, that claim to be saved, but there's no evidence of a change in their life, at least according to what they post worldwide for the world to see. Think about that. Think about that. A person who claims to be saved while remaining unchanged does not understand faith or what God has done for him and her. If you truly belong to the Lord, Peter wrote, your hard work will prove it. Your hard work will prove it. If you're the Lord's and your hard work backs up your claim to be chosen by God, your calling and election, you'll never be led astray by the lure of false teaching or the glamours of sin. Because if we're truly the Lord's, and if we're really chosen by God, and we are sure of our calling and our election, then we're going to understand and we're going to know things that are right and things that are wrong. We're going to have our mind washed. I was on my face over here on the floor earlier because that song said that the angels and the elders bow before Him because you're worthy of it all. And I was saying, God, would you just cleanse me? Completely wash my mind, my spirit, my soul, everything about me that would be dirty, wash it. God, help me to be more like you. A true disciple has a life flowing from Jesus. If you don't think so, go to John chapter 15 and begin to read. Because he talks about the vine. And he talks about what it means to be attached to the vine. And he talks about as long as we're attached to the vine, life is flowing from the vine into us. But when we become detached from the vine, that's when death happens. And a true disciple has life flowing from Jesus, and his own character and power shape the disciple's attitude and behavior. God promises us a rich welcome into his kingdom, church. But there's some things, there's perseverance that must be a part of our everyday life. We must persevere. It's not optional. Unless the promises of God of eternal life with him is true, morality makes no sense at all. What's the point? We might as well get what pleases us and what pleasures we can every day until we just die. Because so many times people just think when you're dead, it's just the end anyway. It's not the end. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Listen, I don't want to have to fear judgment. I want to know that my relationship with the Lord is right, and I can stand before Him as His child and hear Him say, "Welcome in." The Bible points to history's culmination, church. One of these days, the eastern sky is going to split. And Jesus Christ Himself is going to step out on a cloud. And the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to be raised up out of the grave. And those of us that remain are going to be caught up together with Him in the air. Woo! That's going to be a good day. Hey, hey. See, it's God's character that defines the future. God's character defines our future. And God's character is that of love. And because He first loved us, He gave His Son that we would spend eternity. See, God's love wants to share the future with you. In heaven. Today might have been tedious or humdrum or discouraging or hurtful, but the promises of God are for a brighter tomorrow when all of His holiness will shine and all of your devotion to Him will be rewarded. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to your rest. What a day that's going to be, church. All the heartache and the pain that we've experienced in this life will fade away. Like the pain that a woman endures giving birth to a child. It's painful. It is bad. But man, when that nurse or doctor lays that baby on their chest, that pain is so far from them, they can't even remember it. Because they're so overcome with the joy of this infant. Can I tell you, church? You're almost there. We're almost there. Keep up the pace. Don't get weary in well-doing. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Don't ever even think about quitting. Don't even think about quitting. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is waiting just across the finish line to welcome you home. Do you believe that? I believe that. Man, what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Mike, when I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace, and when He takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land. Oh, what a day.
What a glorious day that's going to be. Where there'll be no more parting, no more sorrow over there. Where all is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day. What a glorious day that's going to be. Church, I want everybody to be there. I don't think that's unreasonable. We've got to learn to let our heart be broken for our city. The Bible said Jesus looked out over the city and he wept. When's the last time, church, we wept over our city? Can we just sing this song? What a day that we bring, when my Jesus I shall see,
when I look upon his face,
when I look upon his face,
the one who saved me,
the one who saved me by his grace,
when he takes me by the
hand, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
day that's going to be, church. No more sickness. I mean, just think about it. I'll be able to get up out of a chair without feeling like I got rigor mortis. I mean, think about that. Your blue horse ain't going with you, brother. You ain't going to need it. What a day that's going to be. You think you was running in here the other night, Benny? Woo, son. No. What a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Page 252 in the hymn. In case anybody wants to know where that song's at. If it isn't on page 252 in your hymnal, throw it away and get a good hymnal. That ain't a good one. I'm just saying. Listen, folks. I don't know much. But I know we have a God that loves us. And I know that He wants His church to love one another. Not just in here, but outside. What a day. Mike, there's going to be log cutters come up to you. And they're going to thank you for the life you lived before them. Think about that. It's going to be folks from the mill that you've worked with through the years. Guys you've hauled logs with, Gene, through the years. One of these days. People that you've had lunch or breakfast with. People that you've just let the Lord use you to minister to them. What's the name of that song? Thank you, Lord, by Ray Bolts. Huh? Thank you for giving to the Lord. That song talks about that people are going to come. I was in your Sunday school class when at the end of the class you asked if anybody wanted to receive Jesus. And that day I prayed that prayer. Thank you for giving to the Lord. One of these days there's going to be people coming up to you and I. And they're going to be saying thank you. If you had not been obedient, I might not be here. Think about that. When I say that God has a call and a purpose for your life, I don't just have extra words that I'm just trying to get rid of. Unless I'm reading it wrong, Mike, the Word says that we're all called, but few are chosen. What that means is there's very few that accept the call. When He said in Matthew 28, go ye be ye. He's talking to us. We're going to have to stand, church, one of these days before the Lord and give an account for what we've done with what God has gifted us with. Amen? Man, if you got anything out of tonight other than just a sore voice, if God's Word some way, somehow ministered to you, if something that was said, whether through song or through God's Word, the preaching, if something has resonated in you and ministered to you, take what you have and give it to someone else. And it will come back. God's just looking for some yielded vessels. Amen. Gene's offering baskets over there on the table, and would encourage you to give. I just felt like this was the order for the service tonight. I think more gets done, folks, in worshiping and praising God, being obedient to God, letting God have His way in the service is way more important than me getting to preach for 45 minutes. Amen? Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for this morning. I thank You for tonight. And Lord, I thank You for a people, as Benny said, a core group of people that God will take what we know and go outside of these walls and begin to love people, to minister, to meet the needs of those that we come across, Lord. God, would You bring somebody across our path this week that we could share the gospel with? Use us, oh God. Help us to be in Your Word, to study Your Word, to show ourselves approved workmen, rightly dividing Your Word. Whether we like what Your Word says or not is irrelevant. That God, that there would be fruit following our lives. And God, I just reiterate tonight, Lord, the healing power of Your Holy Spirit in people's lives. God, would You heal people? Would You set people free tonight? God, I pray for Mary right now, Lord, as she goes to the doctor tomorrow to have some cancers removed off of her hand. Give the doctors wisdom, Father. Lord, I thank You for this one that Judy has been interceding for, Lord. And God, I pray that You would meet every need represented there. God, for little Kathy tonight, I pray that You would touch her. For Glenda, for Irene, for Dorothy, Lord, for Anthony. God, for all of these, Lord, I don't even know everybody that needs Your touch. We continue to lift Joanne to You tonight, God. Continue, God, to bombard heaven with our prayers, but not only with our prayers, with our thanksgiving for what You are in fact doing in this place. Now God, we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for it all in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. Will You send us out of here with a song? God bless you. Jesus, You.